Welcome to 305 Radio. My name is Struck.
And I'm Draymond.
And today's guest is a legend. I want to say
true legend. A living legend.
For real. He's really involved with the community.
With everything.
DJ Epps.
Yeah. What's going on, guys? Appreciate the love. Thank you for having me. Oh, what are we smoking today, man? Talk to me, man. Talk to me.
That's how you know it's good. We know you smoke, and we do not encourage use of absolutely any type of substance.
Yeah, I've been smoking since I was 16, and I stopped. I had to stop smoking and drinking, and I feel alive when you get rid of all those stuff, man.
It changes your life, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It motivates you, it moves you, you do more work, you think clearer, you're not, of course, lazy, you know what I mean, and so on. And all this happened in the pandemic when we were just sitting down doing nothing at the house. Everything was shut down. So, you know, the thought process of me sitting there smoking, I'm like, you know what, I don't want to do this no more. Let me get my ass up, let me figure it out, and so on, so on, so on.
So you just got over it all of a sudden?
Yeah.
That was quick.
Cold turkey too, because you know when you've been smoking,
that's not easy.
Yeah, when you've been smoking weed with all your friends and your wife and your girl, whatever, since 16 years old.
Yeah, your whole life basically.
Yeah, it's really hard, but it probably was one of the best decisions I made in my life.
I'm so happy for
kudos,
you.
Kudos.
Health is wealth, man.
Definitely, and you know, and thank you for the legend comment, but you know. As everybody sees me still moving around, that's the thing. I'm still moving around, so, you know.
Got to keep it moving, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I don't want nothing to hold me back.
Tell us in your own words who you are and what you do, because to us, y'all already know.
Oh, man. you know, I call myself the world-famous DJ Epps, and DJ says it all. But at the same time, I'm an entrepreneur, content creator, family man.
Comedian.
Am I a comedian?
You know, you be cracking me up, yo. I'm like, listen, good God.
Listen, this happened this year. It started this year. Like, you know what I mean? Ever since I got with my content creative team, you know, they kind of let me know that the world needs to see the other side of me. And, you know, to start, you know, talking more on the gram and tell jokes or, you know, do something with
because
other...
Because you always mean mugging everybody.
Face expressions, whatever. So I was like, you know what? Let me give a try what you're trying to get out of me. And as I've been doing it, it seems like my algorithm has been flowing through a lot of people's pages. My views been almost over, no, it's been over a million every month.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, same thing has, just like you said, it could be at Publix or something. People are just going, hey man, you funny on the gram. I'm like, damn, what about my DJing? You remember, I'm a DJ. So, you know, I guess I'm not even going to call myself a comedian. But you know, I'm just being
You're
me.
You're a chameleon.
I'm being me, and I'm just, you know, trying to make everybody smile, laugh, and it's funny that you say that. I got like two bookings at the improv all of a sudden.
See that?
Yeah, yo. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, we don't want you to DJ, but we want your presence there. You know, you're a funny guy. I'm like,
there you go.
You're funny and you don't even know it.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool, man. You know, so I'm a get with Growth Power Success and them family and Fat and Funny and those guys. We're gonna be at the improv you know, this Sunday coming up. And then my birthday, my exact birthday, my very born day, April 26th, we're going to be in Doral at the Improv Comedy Club celebrating my birthday, 7 p.m. Showtime with Finesse Mitchell from Saturday Night Live, HBO, Showtime. You've seen him and all that. So, you know, yeah, I was told it was going to low-key roast me and stuff like that. So you know, it's going to be a great situation. Instead of going to the club and celebrating that way, I thought it was great to just, you know, bring my old friends, my new friends, my network friends, my fan base, family all together.
Everybody.
Yeah, to just come smile, laugh, and just
have a good time.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, let's take it all the way back to the beginning. Tell us about your background, your nationality, and what it is that ties you to Miami.
My background, my nationality, Haitian American, New York City. I was raised and born in St. Luke's Hospital. I grew up there in New York, Manhattan to be exact. And, you know, my mom had all types of dreams and motivation to come out of New York because we all knew what New York was like in the 80s, you know?
Oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, she made sure that we got out of there. And I came to Miami to start junior high school. And Miami adopted me and you know, went to Glades High School down in Kendall, went to Killian. And as I was doing...
K-Towner?
Yeah.
Bro, Kendall's on fire, bro.
Yeah, Kendall's always on fire, man. A lot of people sleep on Kendall. But, you know, as I was doing that, staying around that area, I was doing my hooky parties, learning how to, you know, DJ, learning about turntables, learning about, you know, just, you know, rap in general, because, you know...
The culture.
Yeah, everything. The artistry and everything. So, Miami adopted me, and out came DJ Epps.
That's what's
so
up.
Miami birthed you for real.
Pretty much. Miami
created you.
Sorry, mom. Shout out to mom.
Yeah, I would have to say Miami made me, man, because, you know, Miami made DJ Epps. Mom's made E. Felix. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Miami made DJ Epps. So, as I was doing, you know, little parties here and there, school parties and whatnot, and end up in UM doing UM parties, and then find my way on South Beach doing South Beach parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when everything was just elevating, you know.
And there was a real scene.
It was a real scene. It was definitely probably one of the hottest scene. But I had to learn before that, before me, there was even a bigger scene, and that bigger scene was, you know, Uncle Al, Sugar Hill DJs, mm-hmm. Uncle Luke, Two Live Crew, JT Money, Poison Clan, and you know, so on, you know what I mean? So, you know, I had to make sure I learned all of that and blend it in with my New York style, feel, fashion. And
I was
so
gonna
on.
Say, you still definitely scream New York if someone looks do at I? You. I'm sorry,
do
but
I?
You do.
Man, I you know, some people say that. They say, I hear your voice and you sound like a New Yorker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I
all you're missing is some Tim's, yo.
You know what
up.
It is? It's hip hop.
Yeah.
It's just, look, as a matter of fact, just
he
to segue
like
real
hip-hop.
Quick, you came in and first thing you did was hand me the KRS One show flyer.
Yeah.
I mean, you
which
got,
how dope
you
is
got that,
that,
that in your head. So, of course, the accent's going to come up.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you know, I have to say that, you know, New York is always going to be in me, but Miami is the 305 is where I'm from, you know what I mean? And I'm proud to rep it.
That's what's up.
We love that.
Yeah.
So tell me, what exactly came about with DJ Epps? Like, what was it that birthed it?
You know, the fact that when I was coming out of New York, I'm you know, admiring listening to radio stations and listening to Red Alert and Stretch and Bobbito and Funk Flex and Kid Capri and so on, you know, and mind you, I'm hearing it, but I haven't yet to see it,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Till Yo MTV Raps came along and I'm noticing the turntables sitting in front of Dr. Dre and that lover and watching all the hip hop figures come through that show. So by the time I reached to Miami, I knew it all. I knew it from Tribe Called Quest to KRS-One to you know what I mean, Sugar Hill Gang and turntables and Run DMC and microphones and I'm like, you know what? Once I saw Kid Capri doing what he was doing, I said that's exactly how I want to get down. Cause there's a lot of types of DJs. You know, you got mixtape DJs, you got radio DJs, you got your home DJs, and you got that party rocker DJ. And when I saw Kid Capri party rock a couple of times, I said, that's what I want to do. So I learned to grow my own fan base here in Miami and rock my own parties.
Dope.
Yeah.
That's
you know,
really
we you know, we would rent warehouses down in Kendall.
Yeah.
A little further down Kendall, like Richmond Heights sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And we would rent those warehouses and put our speakers in there and invite us. Braddock, Sunset, Killian, Palmetto.
I was too South young, Ridge. But I heard about them parties.
Yeah. Yeah, all these high schools in that surrounding area, I would go pass out these flyers and tell them, yo, come to the warehouse and come, and they would.
Yo, the warehouses had its own fame.
It those did. A lot of people don't fame. Know about that. You know what I mean? I'm not too sure if they had those in Broward County, but down south in Miami, we was notorious of having warehouse parties.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Majority of them was reggae parties, mm-hmm. but I was into my hip hop stuff, so I was, you know, I stood out that way.
You know that's, what I mean? Yeah, you got to stand out somehow.
Yeah. So you know, the warehouse parties in Miami was one a statement for coming up, and then when I said, you know what, let me go to South Beach and see what's going on over there.
How was that transition?
Oh, man.
Because you went from underground dancehall, like all this hip-hop and reggae infusion, to you gotta now cater to the tourist ear.
Yeah, man. You know, when I was doing the warehouse parties, when I first started, I actually had a DJ partner. Big shout mm-hmm. to my brother, Roger. You know what I mean? And we were reggae DJs at first. Mm-hmm. We was all about reggae. But I always had hip-hop in me. So there was a point where I was like, yo, Roger, you handle the reggae, and I'll do the hip hop, and let's go rock these parties. And of course, that was
perfect.
Yeah,
match.
It was a perfect match, and we executed well, and we became famous. You know, but at that time, I don't know, the hip hop elevated my names, you know, to a point where it kind of broke us up a little bit.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. You know, we had some disagreements. We had some great, most of the time was great times, but at the end of the day, we always stayed friends. You know what I mean? So I learned how to go to South Beach and go walk around and see, go learn that nightlife over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know that's a whole different monster.
It's a whole other different world.
Yeah.
It's not this side of the bridge.
Yeah, exactly. So when I got to South Beach and I'm walking around with my crates and I'm walking in front of this club that I heard hip hop and I'm like, I'm gonna see what that is. And as I'm walking, there's a doorman. He's about 6'7" probably. And he's, you know, he's doing the door and I walk up to him with my crates. I'm like, yo, is it all right if I come spin at your party? And he's looking down at me like, shorty.
Little man.
Yeah, little man. You come rock this party, I let you have this every week.
Yeah?
You're like, but if you are whack, I'm going to throw you and them crates out on Washington Avenue. You know, I'm looking at him like,
this you're guy about, spin. You're about to get the DJ Jazzy Jeff treatment.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I was really intimidated. I'm like,
Fresh Prince.
I was like, you know what? Let's go. Man, I went up in there and sure enough, man, the DJ Epps you hear now is the same energetic DJ that you hear today. I went in there and I shut it down. And he was like, I'll see you next week.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean? And then at this time, you know, hip hop, when people are enjoying the music, the sound, the culture of hip hop, we used to throw our hands in the air. We used to, mm-hmm. boop, 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 boop. We used to yell. We what? Oh! So there's a lot of that going in the club, and he sees it, hears it, and feels it, and it's something that you cannot deny. And he was like, you know what? And even afterwards, he was like making me battle for my position. He would put me up other against DJs.
Make it
and
better.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing, Big Rich. He knew what he was doing and the crowd was loving it, you know what I mean? But
So you're okay working under pressure.
Boy, apparently.
That was
pressure ain't nothing.
That was the learning process of being a real great DJ.
That's what's
being happening. Under pressure. Whether it's from the manager, the promoter, or the crowd,
mm-hmm.
you gotta be under pressure and you gotta be able to deliver and perform and don't get sidetracked.
You know what I mean? Read the vibe.
And read the vibe, read the room, and all that. So that lesson was learned. And I'm very proud for that. I'm very honored to make sure.
Shout out Big Rich.
No, listen, he knows that's my brother till this day, and he looks at me, and if he was here, he would laugh, and he would tell you, man, I put that boy through some things, you know what I mean? But at the same time, he was also the type to pick me up from my house and tell my mom, I'll be back with him. He's good with me. And she trusted him, and he would take me to every school. And I would pass out flyers, meeting girls, and, you know, doing what my wife would say, oh, you was on your Papi Chulo shit.
I was going to say, this is
before. So I would go to these high schools and I would pass out flyers, and he taught me how to promote. He taught me how to be my own promoter. I was on my, you know, I was on my shit. You know what I mean? I understood. I could curse, right?
Yeah.
I was learning how to be my own promoter. You know what I mean?
That real street promo, right?
Street promo. Putting those posters up where they needed to be. You know what I mean?
It's not posting.
Look how
a
I walked
flyer.
In here. Look how I walked in here. Still promoting. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, the moment the door opened, the flyer came in first.
He didn't even say, what's up, Drake?
He was like,
he had it like, out.
Yo, what's good? Here you go.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, you know, I always thank him for that. And then there was a point that, you know, Rich became this huge figure to Miami and South Beach, that, you know, he stopped promoting parties, or he was doing something else, and I just took over, you know, the DJ Epps brand and legacy, and took what I learned and brought it to South Beach. Now, as I'm doing this, other parties are recognizing my party, which was called Sugar Shack.
Yeah.
And this was at Club Zen on like 12th and Washington. Zen, if anybody.
I haven't heard that name in so long.
It had the funky ass Z.
Yeah. So as I'm doing my parties there, you know, at this time, if any rap artist from New York, LA, Atlanta, Chicago, anywhere would come vacation on South Beach, and they heard that hip hop just the way I was walking on that South Beach on time.
They were coming in.
They popped in. So I shit you no lie. Eminem would come to my party. Beat Nuts. Some Wu-Tang members.
Not to name dropper.
Man, man. Yo, Diddy would come with J-Lo and
what?
And yo, man, stop, I'm telling presses. You.
Edit
yo,
that out.
Daddy, it's nothing to edit out, because I'm proud of those moments, because I don't care. You know, at that time, nobody knew what Diddy was doing, and he probably wasn't even doing it at that time. So I'm very proud to say those type of figures came to my party recognizing DJ Epps and knowing that I was the guy to go to break their records. You know what I mean?
That's what's up.
So, you know, and then after that, you know, down the block was a party called Fat Black Pussycat.
Okay.
At Liquid.
Liquid.
The most notorious, probably the best party you would ever go to on a Monday night. Dre, you know what I mean? You would have got in there. You probably wouldn't have. You know what I mean? It was a type that, you know, if she came with all her girls, they all
they're
coming
in.
You know what I mean? If you came with all your boys,
back in the day,
I'm not getting in. For
you're
that
not
day.
Getting in. But if you had probably was by
if
yourself,
you bring some girls,
and you was dressing right, and you probably tipped the doorman.
It's an extra $100.
Yeah. You go in there. It was that type of party. And it was not even in the front door. It was in the back alley.
Yeah. And I tell you, that's the type of door service that one comes to expect at the beach.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be going through the back.
Yeah.
But now it's straight up belligerent. It's
night at the Roxbury.
Use this line.
Yeah.
If you're down to pay a little more, but if you're just trying to get in, you're gonna have to.
You gotta wait.
Exactly. So as I'm doing this party, and it was a pleasure to do that party. And the front room was, they would play house, funk, some disco, good stuff that you look in the VIP, you see Madonna sitting there, you see Prince, you see you know, Michael Jordan glowing. Like, I'll never forget it. I'm watching him, and he's just glowing through the freaking club lights.
It's Jordan, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, the back room would open, and it would be my hip-hop room. And at that time, everybody loves hip-hop. You know what I mean? Even after listening to disco funk, oh, man, is the hip-hop room open? And we would go in there till 5 in the morning. Now, we would have to kick everybody out.
Lights on.
Yeah. Like, everybody would come in that room and party with me. I mean, I had, you know, Ice-T come rock the mic in my DJ booth.
Oh, that's what's up.
Biggie Smalls. I had Bobby and Whitney on each side of me.
Both of them at the same time.
With the white girl. You know what I mean?
That is so wild, dude.
Just having a great time. Talking about, yo, you could play this. Challenging me, too. Like, yo, you got this?
Nah. Let me see what you got.
Boom. Whole club. And then Bobby. And there. And that goes for every artist that came in that DJ booth, man. It was a great time. So all of these situation and sceneries was what made DJ Epps. Like, yo, he's the hottest DJ in Miami.
And what is DJ Epps? What's that name? Where does it come from?
I was going to ask you.
Who gave you that name?
Who gave me my name? Wow.
Tell us, Epps.
Tell me the truth.
Where does this secret
come from? Okay, so for one, I'm not related to any Epps in this world. Not no Mike Epps, not no Omar Epps, not 2 Chainz, nobody.
Nobody.
But we all know each other, and we all family in the music world, and that, you know what I mean?
Shout out to all the Epps.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Mike Epps will come to my party and he'll be like, "Hey, cousin." But when I got to high school in Killian, there was a painting on the wall. Uh-huh. Of a soccer ball player. He was about to kick a goalie like that. And whoever drew the painting, they signature their name Epps on the bottom. So me and my cousin, we're coming from New York, and his name is Rob. At that time, my name is Junior. And, you know, we're going to Killian, and he's like, yo, man, we got to come up with some tag names. We got to come up with some
nicknames.
We
got to be cool.
I mean, we can't be calling us Robbie and Junior. And like, you know what, you're kind of right. Took me a while to figure it out. I'm like, man, I'm going to call myself DJ Junior. And he was like, he called himself Spanky. I'm like, Spanky?
Damn.
You know what I mean? And he was a dope, he was one of those dancers, hip-hop dancers. When you go to the club and they make a circle and he would go in there.
Oh, okay.
He made a name for himself. And I'm like, okay. And I'm still struggling with my name. And then we sitting in front of this painting one lunchtime, and he said something. He said, da 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 da. Yeah, Epps. I looked at him, I'm like, what you call me? Like, Epps. He's like, my name's not Epps, don't call me that, man. He's like,
it is now.
He said it just like that. Yes, it is. He's like, look, you look like the soccer ball player, Epps.
Get out of here.
And that's it.
I said, no, I don't, man. Look how light he looks. Like, you light skin, that's you, Epps. I mean, I said, stop it.
Yo,
man,
the streets named you.
I shit you no lie, he had all the entire school call me Epps. I couldn't get away from it. Epps. And I'm like,
he must have been the illest tour guide. He went in high school going, hey, come here.
That's yes. Nice.
Look at him.
Yo.
Look at the wall.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yo, and after a while, I'm like, you know what? And I tell you now, there wasn't no Mike Epps. There was no Omar Epps. Juice haven't came out.
Okay.
Nothing. So I started, like, taking a liking to the name because nobody had the name Epps
before. He started
before.
The Epps.
Yeah. Yeah. I was probably the first famous Epps out
the
there.
The origin story has been told.
Yeah. So it just got stuck with me. And of course, the ladies made it more.
Hey.
Acceptable. I love your name, Epps. That's different.
Me too.
So, you know, and now, you know, I'm screaming this on the microphone, DJ Epps, and it just started getting more popular and more loud, and it's just something that I couldn't get away from, and I had to accept it. So, you know, I'll give credit to my cousin, Rob, for handling that for me,
and
man.
And you got to give him some sort of royalty or something.
Don't you give got him
a
ideas.
Whole brand with merch.
I know he sits around and he's like, yeah, I gave him that name. You know?
That's enough.
look at me. I named you.
Right. Where you get your name from, remember that.
Ep, so is that what took you... or actually open up the doors to all the other things that you do? Do you think that was the key to your success?
The key to my success is to to always be humble, always be nice, don't be a jerk, you know what I mean? Always, you know, shake hands, kiss babies, grind.
Shake hands.
Yeah.
DJ Epps for me.
grind it out. Like, you gotta go put your brand out there, because nobody ain't gonna do it for you. You know what I mean? You gotta go do that. So, you know, the grinding, staying humble, and you know, networking, you know, these are the keys to my success. And, you know, to reach where I'm at right now, I still live to those, you know, keys to this day. And like, and even when Khaled, when he was saying there's keys to life, it's true. It's mm-hmm. absolutely true. And you gotta follow those, because I done met some assholes in my life. And I, you know what I mean? Sometimes I wonder how they still...
even around.
Huh? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, they made it this far.
And I get it, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, you have to be strict, you have to be selfish, you have to be... but also, you could be a DJ Epps too to make it in life. You know what I mean?
There you go.
You know, that's how I feel. So yeah, man, those are definitely some of the priority things that I have to do to keep my name and my brand alive.
How did you transition from doing those events and those parties and those warehouse parties and the beach and going into radio? Because you do Rock the Bells, which is a whole event.
That's a whole different monster.
And it's a whole other monster, but you're on different radio stations. You do podcasts. You do the content. Mm-hmm. What was it that made you transition from being a DJ to just kind of doing everything?
Well, as you're grinding, as you are out there showing out, as you're out there networking, things tend to land on your table. You are being recognized. People want to give you an opportunity. You know what I mean? So... you know, once upon a time, 99 Jams gave me an opportunity. Power 96 gave me an opportunity. 103.5 The Beat gave me an opportunity. You know what I mean? Even before those stations, we had pirate stations. We had, you know, mm-hmm. Blaze 104.7. We had the Mix 96. We had these underground stations, you know what I mean? And when I started doing those things and, you know, carrying my name a lot, you know, the big stations started calling out for my name. But, you know... And I appreciate being on all of those stations, but I felt like a hoe with those stations, man.
Damn.
Nah, I feel it. I felt like they're passing me around like a you know what I mean, piece of pussy or something, man. Like, and what I meant by that is that I felt like I gave those stations my all, but they wasn't loyal to me. You know what I mean? They didn't take my brand and utilize it the way they were supposed to use it.
Was it previously agreed on?
Huh?
Was it previously agreed on?
Previous, like an agreement?
Like before you jumped in, like, was that the agreement?
I'm a DJ, so they gotta, you know, DJs come and go on radio stations, you know what I mean? But, you know, you didn't take my brand and utilize it like how the California station is utilizing Big Boy, how Hot 97 is utilizing Funk Flex, you know what I mean? You know, even here in Miami, like, you saw the power Khaled had. You let Khaled do what he had to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand, man, you know, some stations don't want DJs
There's
to take...
a lot of control.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I get it. I totally get it.
The FCC don't play, bro.
You know, not only that, you don't want a DJ to run with the station and take it hostage and do what
Just
they...
Just do whatever,
yeah. You know what I mean? I totally get it. But you have to also trust a DJ's ears and
experience
and knowledge of that city to help you get the numbers you need. You know what I mean?
If they're gonna reach out and use someone as a reference, it should be the DJ.
Yeah, absolutely. Once upon a time, I think the biggest one that we could use as an example of that is Laz in Power 96. Mm-hmm. Back in the days, you trusted Laz.
Yep.
And Laz, well, he was like the face. He probably still is.
Because Laz knew what it takes to take that station to
a different level. Yeah.
Not even a different level. That station would not be there if it wasn't for Laz. That's my opinion. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And then when he left, it has not been the same. Am I right?
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, and it's not like Laz was out there doing crazy stuff.
Well, he was actually.
Man, a little booty shaking at Club Deep ain't gonna hurt.
Tell the truth. I got stories. No, I'm just kidding.
Nah, but you know, but he wasn't doing stuff to make the station look bad. You know what I mean?
Facts.
So, you know, you gotta trust a DJ to help. You know, man, one thing I learned is a DJ and a programmer needs to trust each other, and they're gonna win together. So when I said that I felt like a hoe being passed around with these radio stations in Miami, none of these stations took me serious, and I found myself, you know what, I'm gonna go over here. You know what, I'm gonna go over here. You know what I mean? And
not appreciated?
Nah, I wasn't appreciated. I don't think my brand was appreciated. And I don't wanna say it was the station, it had to be the program director at that time. At that time, because he's the boss, he's the one I had to answer to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then not to mention low-key, there's other DJs hating that I was in the building.
I was going to say, do you think that's like on some gatekeeping type of shit?
Yes. Yeah, there was gatekeeping. And it's even worse now, because now DJs are getting the program, the assistant program director position. Mm-hmm. So if you hear DJs are getting fired, or, you know, this happened to DJ Enough because Funk Flex and this, like, I'm not saying I know their business or what happened over there, but there's a little truth to these situations that's going down with DJs hating on other DJs. There is.
Can we
that's
play
unfortunate.
Me?
That's unfortunate.
Let's play me. No, but can we play me?
You know,
I want
man,
you to put my record.
You know, and I heard it before. Not to put business out there, but if you want to keep it 305, because this is 305 radio, right?
Exclusive.
You know, if Khaled's out there, and Khaled, I love you to death, and I don't blame you for doing this, but, you know, at the same time, it is what it is. You are a producer, and you are blazing your records, right? And then you got a Billy Blue that needs to blaze his record.
Yeah.
He's probably gonna tap it and break it for Billy Blue, but he's gonna go harder on his own records.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you got Piccolo, you got Ball Greasy, you got, you know, Heckler, you got, you know,
a whole bunch of Miami
artists.
Awesome talent.
But you putting your music out there before them. So
they're not
is,
shining light on anybody else.
Yeah,
and
you know
that, the way for real.
You know what I mean? And you know, it is what it is. So I could see where program directors don't want DJs to take
have
over
control.
The station.
Yeah, but how what's got to be enough? What's allowed? What in your experience? What's allowed for you to be able to play some kind of local music in that setting?
Well, you know, the station's got rules. You know what I mean? First of all, the artist or the artist label got to go build that relationship with the station and go meet those DJs and get them to put your song first on the mix show list. Mm-hmm. It can't be on the regular rotation. Got to be on the mix show list. That means the DJs got to look at that list and play what's on that list.
So it's like saying this is a permanent spot. Knowing that you know it's going to get played.
Mainly prioritizing instead of just having him in rotation and playing whenever.
This is don't bang on the table, man. This is an opportunity for the artist to get their music on heard to hopefully get on rotation.
Okay.
To get as much spins to get on rotation. Now, here's the problem. DJs look at that list and they'll play everything. And if they know there's an artist from Miami, and he knows that the artist Let's say for some reason they don't get along.
No.
If they don't get along, or they don't know each other, okay. Or man, he
may cut it short.
He had sex with my baby mama back in the day. Anything, man. And that artist does not get played. There's a problem. Mm-hmm. There's a problem because you know you're putting your emotions, you're putting all that hating instead of helping the crib. And then every time the crib is always complaining. When I say the crib, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about Miami 305 is complaining about. Why isn't, you know, 305 helping each other? Why isn't the music
Crabs
getting pumped?
Crabs in a barrel, we talk about it all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, man, exactly, it's because of sometimes those situations, you know what I mean? And people are afraid to talk about it, you know what I mean? But sometimes somebody got to let it be known that you guys got to stop that. You guys got to stop that. You guys got to help the crib. You got to play the music, build a relationship, you know what I mean? And artists, you know what I mean? Help the DJs out too. Go to their parties, you know what I mean? Make sure you fist pump, you know, whatever.
Everybody got to show up for each other.
Everyone's
right?
Got to show up for each other. Exactly. Hype each other up.
Exactly.
Go to the party, raise your hands, be like, yo, this is the craziest place I've been to.
Till this day, there's artists that wants me to play their music, but they have not even showed up to none of my parties. And I'm like, yo, dude, you really. You haven't heard from me for a long time, or I haven't heard from you in a long time. You have the nerve to call me, tell me you got a new record, and you don't even say how's your family.
You know where I'm at every weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, like you don't even say how's the family. You know what I mean? What you been up to? You know what I mean? You just go straight into I got a new record, man. Fuck your record, man.
You heard it here first. I mean?
He does like, not make the list.
Yeah, you know I mean, so I get it. So that you know. I think that's some of the problems now. So going back to, you know, me going to the radio stations and everything, it allowed me to learn the corporate radio.
The business
from Clear Channel to IR to, you know, whatever broadcasting stations. And as I'm doing this, I'm getting bored. I'm getting annoyed. I'm getting frustrated.
And taking the fun out of everything?
Yeah, and now I'm like, I want to go to Sirius XM.
Okay.
My dream is to go to Sirius XM. And I heard, you know, a couple of people I knew, and I tried to find ways, and it wasn't happening at all. It wasn't. This was right before the pandemic, right before. I'm like, it wasn't happening. I'm like, you know what I mean? All you could do is pray. All you could do is pray and still try to figure it out. And then when the pandemic hit, I get a call from LL Cool J. And he's telling me, yo, I heard you the man out there. I heard you the legend. I wanna try to work with you. I was like, what you wanna do? And he was telling me, He had just got Rock the Bells. He had, you know, like some other people was owning the name Rock the Bells. They were doing festivals.
Yeah, so the ink was drying when
Yeah. So he was, at that time when he was calling, he was going through court systems to get the name Rock the Bells, and he finally won it. You know what I mean? So it's his. And now he was telling me his dream, like, you know, he's going to do Rock the Bells radio, festivals, cruise ships. He was telling, and I'm like, you're like, your Epps, you know, you hold this down for Miami. We going in. So I was like, so how do we get started? He's like, well, he did shows on the radio station called All Day City, Chicago, All Day City, New York, All Day City, LA, where he highlights, you know, stories about that city and legends and, you know, everything. So when it came to Miami, he was like, yo, I just need you to do an hour and a half mix, and then I'm gonna get, you know, Laz and Flo Rida and Khaled, I think, and certain Luke, and they all, you know, talked and gave their, while I did a mix. And when I did my mix and I played an hour and a half of just Miami music and did the DJ Epp style, he calls me the next morning. He was like, yo, I never heard a show like that in a freaking long time.
Nice.
Like, when I say a long time, like back in the 80s, like, you know, he kind of even referenced me, like, you know, you sound like a modern this person, and I want to offer you a contract. And I'm like, for what? He's like, I'm going to give you your own show on Rock the Bells. I was like,
dream
come true.
I'm finally on Sirius XM. And that's how that happens. Now, this April is going to be my 5th year anniversary with Rock.
Hey.
With Sirius XM Rock the Bells. And in that 5 years, Dre, of course, you have LL, but LL has his PD, a program director that programs all the music on Rock the Bells and everything. And take my nigga, I'm gonna be honest with you. I have not heard from my PD that whole entire 5 years. He didn't micromanage me.
No complaints. No hovering.
He believed in me that I could program my 2 hour show without
micromanagement.
Yes.
Yo, for context, how difficult is it to program your own show? Like, what? Why would there be a comparison?
Why does no one want to give any?
Exactly.
Well, first of all, it's 2 hours, so I'm giving you 2 hours of nothing but pure energy on a Saturday night. He asked me, he was like, how do you see your show going on that tour? I was like, I'm from Miami, I'm from New York. I know my library is huge, so it's gonna go from Uncle Luke to Too Short to Jadakiss to you know what I mean? Sugar Hill, you know what I mean? Curtis Blow is gonna go that. And he was like, yes. And then he's like, being that you're from Miami, can you drop one reggaeton track?
Sprinkle a
reggaeton track for the Latinos, play a Haitian song, play an R&B song, mix it up. Like, of course, that's a party. You're like, yeah, exactly. You're on Saturday night. You getting everybody ready for the party.
Out, yeah.
Go out, even if they stay home. Man, when we came together and started doing it, and we said we're gonna call it the Saturday Night Ride, man, that it was. I would take you on a ride every Saturday night, and I learned that I had a whole new fan base that was waiting for me. Miami had my back fine, but I have a whole new fan base all around the world, and on every Saturday night, it could be a security guard that has his little boombox, you know what I mean, at his job. It could be the Uber, the Lyft drivers. It could be the truck drivers that's driving from state to state. It could be you at home putting me on Bluetooth and you having a party in your home and I'm your DJ.
Yeah.
And that's how my fan base just happens to kind of like explode even more after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then now you get
You were also DJing live on like Instagram and stuff like that during the pandemic, weren't you?
Yeah. That was another way how he found me, cause you know I'm looking at D Nice and I'm looking at all these DJs getting on the gram DJing, and I forgot who it was, but somebody came up to me and was like, yo man, why don't you just get on the gram and DJ too, like, and I'm like, but everybody's doing the same thing. How can I be different? Play everybody's new music. Nobody playing new music. So that's how I started doing that, mixing up with my mixes and doing new music Mondays, and that got popular, you know what I mean? So popular that, you know, even like people, inmates, they found ways to tap in on Instagram and they would watch.
Calling collect.
not even calling collect. I don't even know if they can still do that. Yeah, they still, but
they can, bro.
But the Instagram, I don't know how they would get Instagram and they would watch me DJ on live, and you know, and when people would come out and they'd be like, yo, when I was locked up, man, you held me down. You put me on all the new music. That shit right there, like,
there's,
you know,
value in there.
Yeah, man.
So much value.
Yeah, man. And it made me realize, turning on that Instagram, it needs to be the new business for DJ apps. So my IT guy, my best friend, Teddy.
Shout out, Teddy.
You know what I mean? He taught me some programs, some OBS, some you know what I mean? Every time I turn on my Instagram, everything turns on. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, You know what
that
I mean?
Is dope.
You know what I mean? So,
and this is why DJ Epps also has stayed so relevant throughout the years, is because you have to kind of adapt to the times and the technology, right?
Man, not only in the technology,
you still
but
got your crates.
Yeah,
but.
yeah. But not just the technology, but you know, one of my rules, going back to the keys, what we were talking about earlier, is that every January 1st, I just say, okay, what am I gonna do new this year that I didn't do before or last year? So, you know, everything is just new. You gotta revamp. You gotta, you know, catch up to this crazy world.
Multiple
you know what I mean?
Times.
Yeah, man.
You know, I got a DJ app story. I don't know if you may or may not remember this. This was years ago.
Years or decades?
Could have been 2 decades.
Oh, man. But that's a big difference right
but
there.
But it was one of the dopest
it's
moments.
A lot of blunts right there.
Facts.
I
can't
remember.
Well, I'll tell you this. It was one of the illest moments because it was so left field, and the way you handled it was so dope. So we, myself and Seven Star, shout out Seven, we used to do a show called Hip Hope, which was a fundraiser. We ended up getting FIU South. We got one of the ballrooms. We got sponsored by Vitamin Water. 50 just bought it, right? So they were trying to get it out to everywhere. So we had bins, and people were like, "Yo, you got Epps?" I'm like, "Yeah." You were like, "Yo, if it's a fundraiser, yeah, let's do it." You came out and you started playing. Like, no, when you got there, they were like, "Yo, this isn't top 40. What's he bringing?" And you always had crates. And I was like, "Yo, Epps, I'm sorry, bro, but if you only have top 40, like,
it's not gonna work.
It's not what the party is."
Yo,
Epps looked at me and he was like, "You want hip hop? I'll be right back." Yo, Epps straight up turned around, dipped to his crib.
I went to the phone booth.
Yeah, yo.
I took the K-pop.
Ended up, so
K-pop.
you came back, yo, it's gonna take a little bit. I got the crates at the crib, I'll be right back. He disappeared. The party kept going. He reappears. He's like, "You ain't ready for these crates." Yo, went in there. Once the DJ I was playing, he was done. Yo, Epps killed it, bro.
Best like, party ever.
It turned into a live ass party for real, and it was great, man. So, you may or may not remember from that event or whatnot, but let me tell you,
it sounds a little familiar because one, FIU was up the block from my house, so I could see that quick 15-minute drive to run and go get it. I'll be right back. I could see that. Two, I was representing 50 at that time. I was a G-Unit DJ, so I was handling the Vitamin Waters because for some reason I think I helped with those packets of vitamin water.
That is what's up. Yo.
Yeah.
I had them doing for weeks.
Yeah. So I could see that happening. Now, me shutting it down, that was definitely me. You know what I mean? So, you know, and being that I'm in Miami, that's probably a thought process of like, I need to start thinking other than hip hop. So when you said what you said, I was like, "Oh, is that type of body? I'll be right back."
Like, I got this.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, and I probably was happy because at the end of the day, man, until this day, when people tell me, you know, we want a hip hop party, we want a throwback party, I get excited because those are the golden eras. Those are the golden sound. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm proud to be on Rock the Bells because I get to go all around the world. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that don't know about A-Ball MJG.
Oh.
There's a lot of people that don't know about Tila. They don't know about E-40. You know what I mean?
In history, bro.
And they don't know about JT Money. Like,
people need to get on history, man, for real.
Yeah, you know what
so
I mean?
So much good music.
Oh, yeah, man. That's
is
why
that
I love
the
station.
Is that where we get to let these motherfuckers know? Tell me where that came from.
Ooh, that's another story.
Let's get into it.
So, as I was, you know, playing my role as a DJ on the station here in Miami, you know, these artists tend to come by and do their interviews. So, Diddy, you know, sorry, you know what I mean? Diddy is coming to the station for an interview. No, he didn't have no baby oil.
He didn't slide on through.
No, he didn't slide through. You know, this was actually Puff Daddy. This was, and to me, there's a difference from Puff Daddy to Diddy to Love. There's just a difference. And Sean Combs. There's just difference. But he came in there as Puff Daddy. And if you don't know who Puff Daddy is, this is the you know, more money, more problem, glamour, glitz. Yeah, you know what I mean? Take that with a toothpick in his mouth. Yeah, you know what I mean? So he came in there and he was in the oh, I gotta have this. It wasn't that. It was more of, yeah, daddy. You know what I mean? You know, we gonna rock the stage tonight. So when he came to the station and I told him I need a drop, you know, I need a DJ Epps drop. Man, he gave me this, this Puff Daddy with my man DJ Epps. And then,
and you're like, nah, bro.
To his face, my PD's looking
Run
at him.
Back.
My PD is looking at me like, no, you absolutely didn't just tell him. Listen, man, I want you to act like you was at Hot 97 and you giving a drop to Funk Flex. As we proceed to give you what you need. You see, there's a difference. You know what I mean?
But you have to ask for it. Like,
yeah, you gotta
push for what you want.
And DJs, take note. I'm dropping some gems. Like, do what you gotta do to get what you need, man. Like, ask.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, you know what I mean? All
and
they can say is no.
Chest.
So when he did the drop for me, the last words he says after the drop, hey, yo, Epps, let these motherfuckers know. Man.
That was it.
Yeah. The drop was dope alone itself. It's maybe 5 years, maybe a decade later, I realized that last clip was powerful to start using as my drop in my music. So you would go to parties and you would hear, hey, yo, Epps, let these motherfuckers, and it was starting to work. I'm telling you, I'll be walking down streets.
The whole
and,
hashtag,
yeah.
Everybody let me
know. You know what I mean? You know, it's crazy. People just walk around me and like, let these motherfuckers know. I'll be like, yeah, it's working. Now, moving a couple of more decades down, unfortunately, Diddy is going through what he's going through and so on. So in my mind,
we gonna cut that or what?
In my mind, I'm like, damn, man. You know, he's going through what he's going through, you know, and go to and I get a call from Little John. It's like, hey, yo, man, you still gonna be using that? Let these motherfuckers know.
You need a new drop, bro.
By your man Diddy.
I got you.
And you know, I'm thinking he wanted to use it for something, for one of his new songs or something. I'm like, you know what I mean? I was like,
why? Who's asking?
I was like, why, John? And he's like, look in your email. And I checked my email. Hey, yo, Epps, let these motherfuckers. And he made me a whole new drop, which I'm using now. You
That's
know what
dope.
I mean? So, you know, I had to retire the Diddy one. You know what I mean? And Lil Jon is the new sound that's saying that.
That is
now.
What's up.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what.
And it makes my party even sound more amped.
More
like, crunk, you know what I mean? So that's a dope story.
That's a great relationship to have.
Yeah. And Diddy, once you clear your name and finish doing your time or whatever, we'll bring you back, all right?
Epps, out of all of those amazing things that you've had the opportunity and the pleasure and the honor of being a part of and doing and things that you're experimenting with now, what would you say, and I know this is a hard question, but what would you say is your favorite part of everything that you do?
The drops.
There might be a couple of things, and it's in different sections of my heart.
Okay.
All right. First things first is I'm doing it to make sure my family's fed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my kids, you know, as they're growing up and they recognizing their father's brand figure. How other people be like, yo, I know your dad, he's one of the great ones, yo. You know what I mean? And they love hearing that. And you know, I love doing this for them. You know what I mean? And my wife, my family.
It's legacy.
Yeah, the legacy is just us four. I mean, even though my wife is in the beauty department, she taking care of eyelashes and stuff. But baby girl, you know, she's in Hip Hop Kids. She's doing her dance. You know what I mean? And my son, he's a DJ. He actually DJs, and he's actually an artist. He just dropped his first mixtape, so he got the best of both. He's already better than me. Like, you know what I mean? So
what's your son's
DJ Zay?
DJ Zay.
Z A Y Y. Yeah. So that's one thing. You know, and the other part is that I love making people feel good. Like, you coming to my party, or you happening to turn on the radio and you listen to me, forget whatever problem that happened to you 5 minutes ago, all day, whatever. Like, leave it alone. Let me make
just
you feel
tune
better.
In with DJ
yeah,
X.
Yeah. Let me be your musical therapist, and let me just let you relax. So I love to see people on the dance floor. I love people to see smile. There's people in the in either the DJ booth or VIP or dance floor that they may not be dancing, but they're staring.
And they're in the vibe one way or another.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that stare, yeah. Honestly, it could be a hating stare.
It could be creepy.
Yeah, it could be creepy. But 99% tells me is like, yo, that nigga fucks with me, or that girl fucks with me. Like, they never really seen a DJ get down like that. Cause I know that stare. That stare is me looking at Kid Capri like this.
You ever talk to Kid Capri about that? You ever tell him that story?
Kid knows how much I admire him, how much I learn from him, how much he motivates me. Cause at the end of the day, most of us DJs do. A lot of us DJs do. But the fact that, like, you know, he's my friend. He calls and checks up on me. You know what I mean? You losing weight, Epps? You sleeping right? You know what I mean? Don't sleep on that shoulder too much. You know what I mean? You're gonna start, like, that's the type of friend you need. You know what I mean? And when Kid happens to be at my party, there was a point on the Rock the Bell cruise where I'm DJing at my casino party, and he came down to just chill and hang out, and he pulls up a chair next, sitting right there, and he's watching me fucking take this ship, this crowd to another level, like he does. That right there is the best feeling for me ever.
That is dope.
Ever. That's like any upcoming boxer watched having Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson sit there and watch him whip somebody's ass. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Tears.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so yes, it's a great feeling to know that, you know, Kid, you know, not only my friend, but he watches what I do. Red Alert, same thing. I call him Unks. Or Pops, or whatever, and he's always making sure that Epps, you okay? Because he knows I was one of the first DJs that booked them down here in Miami. When I was growing up on that South Beach era, that was another thing. I was one of those DJs that would admire Camelo, Tony Touch, and we would book them on South Beach. We was
nice.
One of the first to book them on South Beach, so they remember that. You know what I mean? They always remember that, and they always stay in touch, and they always stay, you know, in tune, and still show love to this day, and you know, and I think that's the legendary floor. You know, I reached that legendary floor, so yeah, man.
And we bring it right back around to the beginning.
So, what we got going on in the future? What more can we expect from DJ Epps, not just in the near future, but let's say another 10, 20 years from now?
Ooh.
He's going to own XM.
You know what, man? I was talking to my PD about that. You know what I mean? Like, I told him, I was like, listen, man, I know you trust me and you... But if you ever step down and you don't want to do this no more for LL, I would love for you to teach me, and I'll go to 23rd and Collins and I'll go program the station for him. Like, I'll step up if that allows me to, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's something I would like to do in the future. Two, you know, with social media and everything, I think I'm learning to be more active and more, I learn how to get more viral, but I also learn how to present my own, I like to call it my own TV station on Instagram.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Have your own presence, your own lane.
My own page, my own show, my own, you know, characters, whatever, man. So, you know, I really want to take that to the next level, to a point that, look how Jadakiss and Joe got this shit on Netflix. Look how The Breakfast got it on Netflix.
Like, so you know, maybe some acting too?
Oh, no, definitely acting, you know what I mean? I've done some independent projects here in South Florida. I did, you know, stuff with Kodak Black. I did stuff with some directors here in South Florida with the Miami Film House and stuff like that. Yes, you will end up seeing some more projects with me in it. You're definitely going to see a documentary of things that I put together, whether it's my career or whether it's Miami or hip hop period. You're definitely going to see those things, a book as well.
All right.
Yes, definitely going to see those things. But at the same time, you know, if I could take my son to the next level and help him be what he wants to be and not go through the bullshit that his dad went through in this music industry, I love to make that happen, because, you know, at this time and age, man, it's all about being your own boss. You know what I mean? You know, I don't want him to go to the radio stations and feel the hate of another DJ. I don't want him to go, you know what I mean? Like, nah, man, we're in a world where you do your own stuff and let everybody come to you.
Yeah, but I mean, on some level, he's going to feel that.
He will. He will.
It creates character.
He will. And I don't mind it happening.
But you just want him to be prepared for it.
Be ready for it.
And not only that, there's going to be some, you know, somebody going to try you because they probably hate it on me. You know what I mean? It's just the world we live in.
Damn. You got beef, bro?
Hate is hereditary, bro.
It's not beef. It's just like, you know.
Let me find out.
Me have beef?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I do have beef.
Yeah?
Believe it or not, I could
Who
probably.
Who got beef with DJ Epps, man? Come talk to me.
Believe it or not, I have beef. They not going to tell you that they have beef with me.
But you know that they know.
But
that.
I know for sure. They got beef. I know one DJ that can't stand, I'm on Rock the Bells. He can't stand that people look at me like, I know Boom Bap. I know a DJ like that. You know the DJ.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you know what
I
mean?
I know some guy that makes more money than me, and he hates on me because my wife is more gorgeous than his. Like, these are the little tiny things I go through in life. I know a DJ that he's from Chicago, but he got a job here in Miami, and
he hated on Epps.
You know, listen, he got a position at the station, and I respect it because that's your position. But don't come here trying to sun me. Let's work together. You know what I mean? Just because you have the position of a program director and I'm your DJ, I know my role. I'm gonna help you get you. But don't sun me. Because if you're going to try to sun me, now you don't have your PD hat. You have your DJ
put
hat
you
on.
In the throat.
You have your DJ
put
hat on.
Put you in the throat. What's
No. It's not, no, I'm not about violence. I know how to handle things. And I definitely know that girl Karma, because Karma comes in big time. And now Karma done stuff to those people. And I'm sitting back laughing like, yeah.
Hold on.
You know, yeah, brush your shoulder off, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I learned to just don't do nothing. They're going to realize that they were wrong.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have done that.
I feel you.
You know what I mean? So these are the things that I want to make sure my son don't go through, because he will go through it, whether it's his friends or it could be somebody that just don't like our family and is going to hate on the side somehow, some way, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
The nigga is a...
That sucks.
You know what I mean? I look at him and my wife is like, look at our son. He's such a papi chulo. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a problem in a minute. Trust me, it's going to be a problem. And she's like, yeah, I know. So, you know, we have to be careful with these things, you know what I mean? Because people tend to hate for the wrong reason.
I mean, there's I don't think there's really a right, like, you could try to justify a right reason on some level, but there's always a midpoint where you could both come to an agreement. Both parties could come to an agreement and call it a day, but and typically the agreement is stay out of my business and I stay out of yours. And just forget I exist. And people just, you live rent free. In someone else's head.
Yeah. And but you know, also everybody stays in their lane.
Facts.
I ain't gonna go to somebody's house and act like I know it all. And you're not definitely gonna invite me to come to your house to do a job and you're gonna tell me what type of seasoning to use. Yeah, you could tell me if you're allergic to something, but let me cook.
Let me do my thing.
You know what I mean?
Ep, so you've been dropping a lot of gems and we could sit here for hours and hours just picking your brain about everything. So I'm not going to ask you to leave any more advice, but if there's some way that you can describe Miami or there's something that you want people that have not been here in Miami that maybe are listening to us right now in, let's say, China or Germany, what would you want them to know about Miami?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, there's no place I want to live but Miami.
Amen.
I have to say that. I've been to Canada, and nothing against these countries or cities, whatever. I've been everywhere. I've been to Canada, I've been to DR, I've been to Nicaragua, I've been to Germany, Switzerland, France. Man, Miami is the place I want to stay, live, eat. The food culture all around the world is here in Miami. I can't go to Europe and the seasoning of the food and cooking is not where I'm from. You know what I mean? I can't live in cities that I'm not relating to their rules and regulations and stuff like that. So we got it good out here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got it good. You know what I mean? Only thing we just got to worry about is a hurricane time to time. You know what I mean?
I'd rather a hurricane than a snowstorm.
Or an earthquake.
Or an earthquake.
You know what I mean? So we got it good here, man. Come, hang out. You know, go to the beach. Go to the malls.
Come on your best behavior, though.
Yo, you know what I mean? Thanks. Come on vacation. Don't leave on probation. Right? You know what I mean? So, you know, we may have a little traffic here and there, but we got it good here.
It's a beautiful place.
Now, for me, as long as I've been here since the early 90s, man, like Dr. Dre said, been there, done that. And I feel like I'm absolutely bored out here.
Wow. Yeah, but you've been involved with so many different things.
Yeah, but how is it once upon a time, or maybe till this day, our city is known for the best nightlife.
For the best everything, because we're in the best city in the world.
Yeah, right. But let's talk about the nightlife for a minute.
It's different
I'll
now.
Tell you one word. That can make or break nightlife. Parking.
Yeah, that too. But if we are the city known to be nightlife, I love that saying when we had Cameo, Zen, Crave, Baja Beach Club,
Mansion, Kit Kat, Oxygen,
Chili Peppers. You know what I mean? My nigga, ain't nothing out here but living fucking booby trap. Yeah. And 11. That's it. That's it. What happened to our nightlife? This is not the city no more. This is not the city for that no more. We're not known for that. What are we known for? The last hip hop group that made it out here in Miami, that got pumped out. And it's been a while since. Trick Daddy, Pitbull, Luke, Khaled, Trina, Flo Rida.
Ross.
And decades after that, Kodak.
Kodak, yep.
And I'm going to put Ace Hood in there too.
Is he still in Miami?
He's in Broward County.
Okay.
But those names stuck out. But the ones that I really named is the one that still are legendary. That they made it to...
Trick dropped new music, you know?
He dropped new music. Yeah. Trick got cooking. Like, who would think that? You know what I mean?
He got two restaurants.
Like, who? I mean, that's fucking great. But after that, like, I'm sorry. I don't hear no more pumping out of our city.
This is true, but I mean,
well, you can do something about that.
I try. It's called New Music Mondays. And still, Miami hasn't popped up as much in there as they should. You know what I mean?
If someone wants to get a hold of you, check out your shows, get in contact with you, buy some merch, where can they find you?
At DJ Epps everything. At DJ Epps my Instagram. You know, hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on, you know, whatever, man. But, you know, man.
Wherever you can. Whatever social like, outlet you have.
There's only one DJ Epps. That's a great thing about it. So, you know, there's ways to contact me. But definitely the website, djepps.com. djepps.com. Right. There's packages. There's music promotions. There's ways to book me. Definitely to book me. You know what I mean? And djepps.com is the website. You know what I mean? So, you know, for Miami, for everybody who wants to come to Miami, come. Come. It's a beautiful city. Sunshine State. You know what I mean? We can have a great time. You know what I mean? I have my own opinion about my city, but still, get on my guest list.
That's another episode. Yeah,
yeah, that's a different, that's a whole other hour.
Get on my guest list. Let's go party. You know what I mean? I got a once-a-month party called Why Not Fridays. It's dope and crazy. You know what I mean? We have some brunch parties. You know, and we got the Rock the Bell festivals in New York happening and get ready to come to other cities.
Tell us more about this Saturday, April 4th.
KRS-One. All April, we're celebrating my 50th birthday. So The KRS-One April 4th in downtown Las Olas in Fort Lauderdale is my first one. KRS-One is performing live. He's doing the boom bap. 50th birthday bash.
Hell yeah.
The next day, April 5th, we're going to Montreal. And I'm going to celebrate my birthday 50th over there with Wayne Wonder at the Reminisce Party. And then I'm going to come back to Miami April 17th to celebrate my birthday with Kay Solo. He's celebrating his birthday at Tomorrowland. Also, De Niro, he's celebrating his birthday. My son, DJ Zay, celebrating his birthday. Jules, Tito Love.
It's a real party, man.
Oh, no. It's going to be crazy. That party alone is an Aries Taurus party in Tomorrowland. It's going to be crazy. And then April 24th, Pembroke Pines by my house where, you know, my neighborhood is going to come party. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's welcome, but come to my neighborhood and party. Yeah, for the crib, Pembroke Pines. If you know where Cafe Iguana, that mall plaza where it used to be, it's in there. It's a place called Dulce. That's where I have my Why Not Friday parties. You know, that's where I'm going to have my 50th all-black party. I couldn't book Jay-Z, so the next best thing, Memphis Bleek, he's going to come, you know, perform and hang out with me and Mims, you know what I mean? So we're going to have a great hip-hop throwback party that night. And then, you know, the next day we'll be at Tipico that Saturday. And then the 26th on my exact birthday, once again, we're going to be in Doral at the Improv Comedy Club. 7 p.m. is showtime, Finesse Mitchell and friends. And I want everybody to go get their tickets on improv.com, miamiimprov.com, and come hang out with us.
Any shout outs you want to give before we go?
Oh, man, shout out to the Almighty High, man. God is always watching my back, protecting me. Amen. And I thank you for everything you've done for me and watching me and bringing me health and wealth and taking care of my family with protection and everything. And the fan base keeps growing. Team Epps, people think Team Epps is like my squad, but you know, if you really know me, and you know me, Dre, I roll solo. I'm by myself.
Or with Teddy.
But Teddy got somebody got to hold the camera.
Every now and then.
You know what I mean? But you know, I roll solo. So Team Epps is not my crew. Team Epps is.
It's me. It's
the fan base. It's the fan base. You guys are Team Epps. You know what I mean? You guys are family. It's the fan base. It's like, you know, it's like
we
know,
a team.
It's like Beyonce calling the Beehive. Is it the Beehives? You know what I mean? You know, the Beehives is Team Epps. You know what I mean? Team Epps is the fan base. Everybody's Team Epps. I'm on Epps' team. I like Epps. I love the way he DJs. I love the way that's Team Epps. So, fan base, thank you for always rocking with me all this time, and there's more to come. I promise you, there is more to come. I'm going on tour this year to several places, Germany, Switzerland, California, Orlando, mm-hmm. Atlanta, mm-hmm. New York, LA, Montreal, Daytona. There's a couple of, you'll see it on my timeline. There's a couple of dates I'm coming to your city. So once you see the DJ Epps brand coming to your city, come hang out with me.
Get ready for a party.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
This is 305 Radio, a Miami podcast. I'm Dre Mobb signing off.
And this is Strug. Thanks a lot, Epps.
You already know I'm here on 305 Radio, a Miami podcast. It's your boy DJ Epps, and I'ma let these motherfuckers know.